So we are reading chapter 11. We are also happy to see our Maharaj back in the headquarters of Maharaj, hopefully. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj said that Srila Prabhupada hasn't given any Gita classes on the 11th chapter. We don't see the classes on this chapter. So this is a very visual chapter. It's a multimedia presentation.
Although I have to say, Prabhupada's mentioned that was his favorite chapter.
Oh, that's his favorite chapter. Yeah. So this is a very bright, very special chapter. It's a multimedia presentation. You not only hear, but you can almost see what is presented. It's a very bright picture, very impressive picture. It's probably also the most famous chapter of the Gita. Some people are very impressed with this chapter. Our Kalakanta Prabhu from Florida, the Back to Godhead editor, one of the, he said that when he made his Gita in English poet, in English verse, then one of the reviewer said that 11th chapter is the culmination of the Gita, because it is very impressive. 11th chapter is very impressive. And that particular reviewer said that after 11th chapter, it's almost like an anticlimax. It's like, you know, you have the peak and then it goes down. But it's only if you do not follow the philosophical picture, the philosophical melody in the Bhagavad Gita, because philosophically it only becomes more and more and more exciting, because after that you have Bhakti Yoga, chapter 12, such a beautiful chapter where it even becomes more interesting for devotees. Or for a philosopher, for example, this Madhusudan Saraswati, he's seems to be completely converted by chapter 15. So chapter 15 impressed him very much. So this is chapter 11, verse 17. We will read several verses, also not so many commentaries we have here. So probably we will read until verse 21 or 20, until verse 20. And yeah, shall we? Yeah, I'll chant this myself, and then we can chant responsively in verse 20. Kiritinam gadinam chakrinam cha tejo rashim sarvato dipti mantam pashyanti tvam durnirikshyam samantat diptanalar kadyutima prameyam. These are Arjuna's words. Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs and discs. And then 18. Tvamaksharam paramam veditavyam tvamasya vishvasya param nidhanam tvamavaya shashvata dharma gopta sanatanas tvam purusho matome. You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion. 19. Anadi madhyantam ananta viryam ananta bahum shashi surya netram pashyami tvam dipta hutasha vaktram svatejasa vishramidam tapantam. You are without origin, middle or end. Your glory is unlimited. You have numberless arms, and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance. Purport. There is no limit to the extent of the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here and in many other places there is repetition, but according to the scriptures, repetition of the glories of Krishna is not a literary weakness. It is said that at a time of bewilderment or wonder, of great ecstasy, statements are repeated over and over. That is not a flaw. And maybe we can chant verse 20. Dhyava prithivyor idamantaram hi. Vyaptam tvayaikena dishascha sarva. Drishtvadbhutam rupam ugram tavedam. Lokatrayam pravyati tam mahatman. Dhyau, from outer space. Aprithivyo, to the earth. Idam, this. Antaram, between. He, certainly. Vyaptam, pervaded. Tvaya, by you. Ekena, alone. Disha, directions. Cha, and. Sarva, all. Drishtva, by seeing. Adbhutam, wonderful. Rupam, form. Ugram, terrible. Tava, your. Idam, this. Loka, the planetary systems. Trayam, three. Pravyatitam, perturbed. Mahatman, O great one. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and terrible form, all the planetary systems are perturbed. Purport. Dhyav a prithivyo, the space between heaven and earth, and loka trayam, the three worlds, are significant words in this verse because it appears that not only did Arjuna see this universal form of the Lord, but others in other planetary systems saw it also. Arjuna's seeing of the universal form was not a dream. All whom the Lord endowed with divine vision saw that universal form on the battlefield. Krishna is real. Krishna is not only great and wonderful, but Krishna is also present in our lives. So Krishna is always immanent and transcendent, the two terms used sometimes in the Western discussions about God, immanent and transcendent. So, is he in or is he out? So, people think that it has to be either or. It has to be either in or out. So, they think if he is in, then he's all is one. We are all one. And if he's out, then sorry, we are here to suffer on our own. But he's both in and out and everything in between and every other shade of participation and transcendence at the same time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to formulate the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Tattva, non-material, transcendental, inconceivable oneness and difference. And chapter 11 gives a very inspiring description. So these are prayers by Arjuna. Arjuna is praying. You can see that he puts his heart into these prayers. Sometimes just by reading through these verses, you can feel that these descriptions of Krishna's universal form somehow create a certain inspiration. Even though Prabhupada calls this, devotees are not attracted to this godless display of opulence. Godless display of opulence. Displayed by God. Meaning that this is not the form that is the main attraction for a devotee, and this even inspires Arjuna to ask in the next chapter, but I'm not so attracted to this form, and he's, he even says, enough, enough, please show me your sweet form. But it is very impressive, a very impressive form. So also we see that all the previous descriptions where Krishna said, okay, earth, water, fire. Do you have earth around you? Do you have water around you or in you? Hare Krishna. I have both in the same cup, Hare Krishna. It's hot water. Very lovingly prepared in devotional service. Hare Krishna. So the throat is opening. Hare Krishna. Yes. So you have in the solid cup, so that's earth. We all breathe, if you don't forget. At least partially we breathe. That's why sometimes we need maybe to set aside a few minutes to breathe also. It's part of our culture to breathe. And we occupy some space. According to the recommendations of the knees, how is it, the Institute za javno zdravstvo, according to the recommendations of the Ministry for Health, I'm half joking that we have proper space here for everybody, enough space. Akash, ether. So, Krishna said, "These are my separated energies. Also, the mind, intelligence, the false ego. So, at least some of us have intelligence. Some of us, I for sure have a false ego. So, Krishna says, these are my separated energies. But here, he shows." And Arjuna will say, I see how this is you, and that is you, and the beginning, you have no beginning, but you're the beginning and you're the end. And he can see all of this. He can smell. He can also smell the garlands on Krishna's necks. So Krishna is not impersonal. He can smell the garlands. He can probably feel the heat of that fire that is licking the kshatriyas and destroying all the enemies. So it's a very graphic, a very powerful demonstration of how Krishna is all of those things he described, how he is present in our life all the time. And somebody said, it's being quoted, I see it quoted many times, that you can live life either as if everything is a miracle or as if nothing is a miracle. Something like this. Did you hear something? It's like popular New Age. Maybe it's old age, I don't know, saying. I don't remember who said it. So here Krishna shows how everything is his energy, how everything is a miracle, and by reading this you can be infected a little bit, in a good sense, by Krishna's excitement. By Krishna's excitement. I know that sometimes I remember once we were supposed to go for a Harinam, and we were getting together, and it was taking time and more time and more time. So I was sitting with the Bhagavad Gita, and I decided to just go through the book. And a few devotees who were also already ready to go. So we just went through the whole chapter 11. And as you go through chapter 11, it somehow inspires you more and more. It's really very, it's quite amazing how Arjuna is praying, and what Arjuna sees, and how Krishna is blessing him, and if you don't have our emotions, so all 12 rasas are here, all 5 ingredients of rasa also are here, so anubhava, vibhava, sattvika bhava, sanchari, and sthayi bhava, so all of them are here. It's a very rasika in that sense, a very rasika chapter. So it has already strong influence. We can sit anywhere in the world and we can be touched by this chapter. We can come in touch with Krishna. And also Prabhupada points out here in this place that it was not a hallucination. So nowadays they are thinking that some people think that now we have isolated the chemicals that can create the mystic experience. What they call them, DMT and something and something in the, it creates, stimulates the brain in such a way that you feel awe and you feel awe, awe. And you feel oneness and connection and union and enthusiasm, something, you know, this some mystic experience. If you don't go crazy, as happened to some. So, who tried this earlier. So, they argue that mystic experiences maybe is just the interaction of chemicals in the brain. One father or one devotee once told him, "I will never accept your Krishna. I will never accept that Krishna is real. Even if you, because sometimes the agnostic or atheistic people will challenge, if God exists, why doesn't he come and show himself to me? Have you encountered such arguments? But we can show. I mean, we can show here, we can show in a sound, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We can show in the sunlight, so many ways, just open your eyes. Or undergo the training under the spiritual master to see. But he said, even if your Krishna comes here, as he is in your books, with the peacock feather, and with the golden dhoti, if he comes here in my room, even then I will not believe. Even then I will think probably some chemical factory exploded nearby and I have been breathing some gas and I'm hallucinating. So such a person, what can convince? How do you convince such a person? So it's difficult to convince such a person because we see that one version of the universal form Krishna showed to Duryodhana also. Duryodhana was shown one version of the universal form. When Duryodhana tried to capture Krishna, Krishna came to do the peace talks to somehow convince Duryodhana to not fight without need. And he decided, okay, if maybe I somehow, if I help, him understand that I am actually not just a prince, but I am Krishna. So Krishna pulled out all the stops. He did everything. It's not that he, you know, was speaking with a forked tongue, that he wanted to provoke Duryodhana. No, he should fight because we need to wipe out another few millions of demons. We have to remove the demoniac burden. No, no. Krishna really tried. So much so that he even showed one kind of a huge universal form. And what did Duryodhana say? Duryodhana said, this Krishna is such a magician. He even plays his tricks here now on me. And it didn't help, didn't work on Duryodhana. So if a person refuses to accept, there is no point showing these things to anyone. Krishna obviously is always ready to show so many miracles, and especially to devotees. Oftentimes, as we join in the beginning, we encounter so many coincidences that are miraculous. Who has seen some miraculous coincidences in your life? Maybe as you start, how's it called? Shoveling the muck out of the heart, yeah, shoveling the dirt out of the heart. Then it, you know, we have no time. You know, we just bend down and work. We don't see the the sky, so to say. We don't see so many miracles. They're still there, actually, but we don't see that so much because we struggled too hard. But especially in the beginning, so many amazing things we notice, and Krishna shows. He says, "Yes, yes, yes. This way. You're moving the right way. Please keep going. Finally, you're turning your face in the right direction. You will extricate yourself of this useless suffering, going in circles." Krishna is ready to show miracles, but we have to be ready to accept. And this is never a hallucination; it's not a dream. And here, Prabhupada says that this was witnessed by many on other planets. We will see also in the next verses in 22. We will see that even some Adityas, Marutas, Sadyas, Gandharvas, Yakshas. So many were seeing what Arjuna is seeing now. So that's not Arjuna's hallucination or some acid trip, you know. And before the battle, he was worried. So his secretary gave him some, like, what did they give the German soldiers? Methamphetamines, yeah, methamphetamines. They were giving them, yeah. Methamphetamines, that's what they were giving them. I mean, I think World War II, many were given a lot of stuff to keep fighting. So maybe Arjuna was given too much, a bigger dose, and so he's seeing things, and then he fights. No. It was witnessed. You can see that Sanjaya records. So you can see Sanjaya records from Arjuna's words, but he also sees himself. He records what Sanjaya sees, and we hear what others also see. So that's been seen by many. It was witnessed by many. So Krishna is not an imagination. So our task here, so probably one most quoted verse here from one of the few most quoted verses here, nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Oh, savyasachi, become my instrument. Yes, become an instrument. So you are a good archer. Savyasachi means you are able to shoot from both hands. So become my instrument. And just become my instrument. And Srila Prabhupada says that we are conditioned here, and our task is to understand Krishna's plan. We have to understand Krishna's plan. But if we accept, yeah, there is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. What is this plan? Asks Srila Prabhupada. You all know. What is this plan? This cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back to home. So, this plan includes you on both sides, as the object of mercy and as the instrument of mercy. Hare Krishna. So, Chaitanya Charan, in his book, he published several books on the Gita. On the 11th chapter, he has one. He tries to say something like aphorism, aphoristic. So he says, history is his story. History is his story. So if you know his side of the story, if you know his story, you know history. And you can, and we roughly know, we don't know every detail. and maybe that's more interesting like this. But that's his story. So, and Prabhupada helps us to understand what's his plan. His plan is not to have us just to undergo meaningless suffering, but to regain our Krishna consciousness, regain our Krishna consciousness. So if we agree to accept Krishna's mercy, and even more, if we agree to carry Krishna's mercy to others in this world, then so much better. Then you get extra points. Krishna says there is no one, nobody is more dear than one who is preaching this message of the Bhagavad Gita, especially in the light of pure bhakti. So in the very end of the, after all the instructions, Krishna gives some blessings, Shruti Pal, Palashruti, and in two verses, he gives two verses to those who speak about the Bhagavad Gita in light of pure bhakti. And there are some special blessings available for that. At least, Krishna says, there is no one dear, and there never will be anybody more. Nachatasman manushyeshu kashchin me priyakritama bhavita nachame tasman anya priyataro bhuvi yaidam paramam guhyam mad bhakte shabidasyati bhaktim mai param kritva mame vaishyatya samshaya. Yes. He says, for one who explains this supreme secret, I switched the verses. Pure devotional service is guaranteed. Hare Krishna. So do not refuse when they ask you to give a class. You want pure devotional service? You want devotional? So Krishna gives a guarantee. And not 1 year guarantee. It never expires. He will say it in the next verse. It does not expire. Lifelong. Lifelong guarantee and satisfaction guaranteed. I don't know. Yeah, it's more than lifelong. Yes, I don't. Sorry, we don't have a term for this. Guarantee. Permanent. Everlasting. So pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So don't worry, at the end we have a happy end. And if it's not happy yet, it's not yet the end. Just wait. And 69, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. There is no one dear, more dear, and there will never be anyone more dear. So that's a very special blessing. And I declare that he who studies the sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. Jnana yagyana tenaham. So Krishna says, so just if you are here, then this is jnana yagya. And one of the commentators says, even if not very attentively, not very attentive, still it counts. So that's his story. It's real. Krishna is great. We can join his plan. We can join his mission. We are part of his plan anyway, as the object of mercy, but we can join in a more interesting role. You can join Gauranga. You can join Gauranga Lila, because now it's probably one of the most explosive moments for expanding mercy. Yes. So there are people who are looking for it, and you probably don't have to struggle as hard as in the 60s and the 70s. Probably, right? In terms of pushing forward.
Well, maybe we should try.
Maybe we should, yes. But if you don't, it's you can still do a lot. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some comments, points, questions?
Thank you. In connection to verse, I think, 13, before, in this chapter.
Verse 13?
Yeah, I think so.
So the one we didn't read today, huh?
Excuse me?
We didn't read this verse today.
No,
okay.
Before.
All right, yeah.
It said that other soldiers didn't see this cosmic body. But in this one says that also in the higher planetary systems they saw it. Is this because they were like Duryodhan, or is this just Krishna who chooses to show it to whom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, others on the, yes. So in the verse we read today, it was 20, right? It says, all whom the Lord endowed with divine vision. All whom the Lord endowed with divine vision could see. And this divine vision, according, that was my very first thing I ever heard from the Bhakti Shastri course. Divine means from the heavenly planets. So Arjuna couldn't see in the beginning because he had a vision that was higher, of a higher level. Loving vision. So Krishna had to downgrade his vision. Roll back the vision to the heavenly, to the paradise vision. And that was first time I heard from Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. He was at that time Raghubir, yes? He quoted one of the first Bhakti Shastri explanations, because in verse 22 we hear that Asuras, Marutas, Yakshas, Sadhyas also saw. So that means that was this mystical demigod, we can say demigod vision. So with that demigod vision they could see, and whomever Krishna granted this demigod vision, they also could see this. But normally Arjuna doesn't need such demigod vision, so he functions with Krishna, with his sweet vision. So therefore, Krishna had to downgrade his vision to the demigod vision. But whoever else, there was a few, maybe some devotees, maybe some personalities who, I don't know exactly who of those millions were in the list, but probably a few more could see. But not ordinary soldiers. They were not all granted the demigod vision.
Hare Krishna. I have one comment and one question. I remember just now that this is the answer of bogus incarnations.
Yeah.
Because if you ask a bogus incarnation, okay, if you are God, then show me the universal form. Then they usually say, or some of them say, I heard somebody said, oh, you can't see my universal form because you don't have the divine vision. So, then you may ask him, then give me divine vision. And they will say, why shall I give you the divine vision? You are not my devotee. So this is the comment. And the question is, I'm not quite sure, but I always thought that yakshas are demoniac. Am I wrong? I heard it wrong?
Yakshas are an interesting bunch, because in some places in the Bhagavatam they are called Vishnu Janas. And there's even one verse where they are called the best servants of Vishnu. So I'm not quite clear why. It looks like they are something like a bank security. And so they probably like a third party. You know, they keep the bank So the demons need their services, and the demigods use their services. But because money is money, so sometimes we call them the best servants of. That's my. We see that Kuvera comes to Dhruva and he says, "Do you? Can I give you something?" Just imagine Kuvera, you know. If you know some of the richest people in the world came to you and offered this, can I give you anything, please? And Dhruva said, Hare Krishna, that just please help me give me the unshakable Krishna consciousness. That's all he requested. So yakshas are accompanying Kuvera, they are his servants. And of course in Canto 3 we see them in the demoniac context. They appear with the rakshasas in a rather demoniac context, and even their name is explained as coming from their exclamation of some of the first creatures running after Brahma, screaming, "Eat him, eat him, yaksha, eat him." So that they were called yakshas there. So in that context they were demoniac. But there are some places where they are not described, where they are described favorably. So my understanding is that they are something in between, that maybe by nature they are not necessarily demoniac, that they are not like asuras, that they hate Krishna or hate Vishnu, but probably they are engaged in some service that's not so nice, but they can also do some nice things. Anyway, to me, it's still something mysterious and esoteric. That's the best I could come up with so far. I was trying to find who they are. Something else? Yes.
I was just a little curious to know that just as Krishna showed his universal form to Duryodhan and now to Arjuna, was there any other person or any other occasion where Krishna did show his universal form, or just we have these two incidents only?
We have many. Even in the 10th canto, it seems that Mama Yashoda sees this, I think, twice in canto 10. You cannot escape universal form in any canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, practically, there is some occurrence. Vamanadev sees... shows the universal form, but here in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 11, in one place, not immediately, we have a special military edition of the universal form. And he's, because in other places he shows how he's pervading the universe. To Duryodhana he showed his huge form. To Mother Yashoda he shows how he pervades the universe, but he didn't show how he's eating, you know, the armies. But to Arjuna, he has shown the future. Mm. And he has shown how he's eating the most dangerous generals. Because Arjuna's army was much smaller. Mm-hmm. And there were many super powerful Maharatas on the other side. So Krishna, first of all, showed... And Arjuna didn't want to do violent acts just for the sake of violence. So Krishna accomplishes all of this. He reassures Arjuna. He shows that the most dangerous people are already killed by him. Even Jayadratha, who is not such a great warrior, but there will be a place, a moment where it's important that he is killed on time. And also that he says, it's done by me already. So you can be an instrument. So you can do this as... not for yourself, but as a service. Not as your story, but as his story, as Krishna's, as part of the universal plan. This way. So that was a special form that was shown only to Arjuna. That's what it mentions. It was not something that others could see.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. And now the universal plan continues. The sun has moved away. And sweet Krishna conscious dreams to recover strength for the next day of service in Krishna consciousness. So let's pray again for Bhakti Miriam, for all the devotees, and for everybody who needs mercy of Krishna, but especially, of course, all the devotees. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.